This gospel of the Beatitudes is perhaps one of the most familiar in all of the scripture. Its litany of what it is to be blessed can be seen as the ultimate blueprint for living the Christian life. And in the context of today's Feast of All Saints, it tells us this is how you become a saint. But do we really understand what that means? As we mark this All Saints Day, it's tempting to put the saints literally on a pedestal. And you can just look around the church. We have stained glass windows. We have saints on pedestals. We have statues of wood, of stone, that we see these saints. We collect them in holy cards, venerate them in icons. But to think of saints solely as on a pedestal reduces them to something merely decorative and risks making this feast seeming unnecessary. And this day is necessary. We need to hear what this feast says to us. It's a summons, a call. It's a challenge to every one of us who is here. Looked at another way, All Saints Day is nothing less than a dare. This feast day says to us, dare to be more. Dare to be a saint. And some of us may hear that and laugh or think that how can I possibly do that? That sainthood is a noble ambition, an ideal. But is this something that we realistically can expect to attain? And the short answer is yes. This is something we can attain. This is something we need to be working towards. Because the great truth about the saints, something that we can so easily forget, is that they were just like us. Flesh, blood, strength, and weakness. They were people of appetites, longings, ambitions, and disappointments, vanities, and eccentricities. They were simple sinners just like the rest of us. And that is how they began. That's not the whole story. The simple but reassuring fact is that nobody is born a saint, but it's something that we become. You can go and consider St. Margaret of Cortona, that as a teenager, she was the mistress of a young nobleman. She lived with him for 9 years, even had a son with him, hoping that at some point her lover would marry her, but he never did. And when he was finally murdered, the shock caused Margaret to reevaluate her life. She went on to take vows as a Franciscan, and her son also joined the order. She was canonized a saint in 1728. Nobody is born a saint. It's something that you become, something that you make that decision to be. Sometimes those who become saints aren't the ones we quite expect. They may be filthy, the rejected, the outcast, the homeless. People like St. Benedict Joseph Labre. He grew up the son of a prosperous shopkeeper, but felt called to give up everything and follow Christ. He spent his life wandering from the church to church in Rome. He rarely bathed, never washed his clothing. He reeked. But some people, because he reeked, they were repelled by him. But the purity of his devotion and love of God moved and inspired those who saw him day after day. And when he died at a young age of 35, the priests of Rome preserved his clothing as relics. And they buried him in one of the churches that he loved. Today, he's the patron saint of the homeless. Nobody is born a saint. Something we have to become. That's something that we have to overcome our sinfulness. Like that of St. Camillus de Lillis. Of he who grew up in northern Italy, joined the army, but had the addiction to gambling and continued to struggle with that for the rest of his life, repeatedly falling into sin of gambling and having to turn back to God. Eventually went and founded an order in the city of Rome to take care of the sick, to take care of the infirm in the hospital, and became a saint in doing so, of conquering his addiction to gambling, his vice to gambling, that sin, and becoming one of the holy men of God. And so we can't just dismiss any of the saints. They're closer to us than we realize. They've struggled against sin and temptation. They've walked the journey towards holiness, sometimes stumbling, sometimes falling, but always getting back up and moving on, of going to the sacrament of penance to receive God's mercy, of coming to Mass to be united with Christ in that way of communion, of welcoming Him into our very lives there in the Eucharist, always resolving to do better, to be better, to aim higher, to aim for the heights of heaven. They've worked at what the gospel is calling us to be pure in spirit, to be meek, to be merciful, to make peace. This is how we become what Jesus has called blessed, what this church calls saints. It's a tall order, but it's nothing less than a call to greatness. It's nothing less than shooting for the heights, of laying it all down, risking it all, for the sake of the greatest reward possible that we can ever have on earth and in heaven. And that this feast day goes and reminds us, whether we realize it or not, that it can be ours too. That this is the kind of greatness that is within our grasp. This is the kind of greatness that we have in living out the Beatitudes, the commandments, living out the life of the sacraments in the church. That All Saints beckons us to something beautiful, to something great. It reminds us of our great potential, the promise that lies within each one of us after the day of our baptism. That at our baptism we became children of God, and the promise of heaven was given to us, the promise of holiness. It is that promise that is fulfilled in countless people we venerate this day, our models, our companions, our inspirations, and our guides, all the saints. They give us blessed hope, and they reassure us again and again that no one is born a saint, but every one of us, by the grace of God, is called to be one and become one.